From the Roots Up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Welcome to Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. Thank you for all the great support for the station. We're doing well, and I want you to know you can keep on giving. You go to CIUT.FM, and we have this wonderful T-shirt. If you put it, give us $120, you can get a T-shirt with made by a honest-to-God artist, and it is a very attractive thing. And it's Barbara Klunder, pardon me, my error. Barbara Klunder, and it is a great-looking shirt. So for $120, supporting the station, CIUT.FM, donate. You can still get in on it for the rest of the month, and we urge you to do so. But we are very grateful, all the wonderful people supported Taylor Report and this station and all the great programming. We're going to talk in a little bit with Riley Moorman about the encampment, and at a halfway point we're going to be talking to Philippe LaRochelle. Mr. LaRochelle is part of the team representing Victoire Umahoza, Victoire Ingabire Umahoza. By the way, you can keep track of Victoire by going to on Twitter, and there she is at Victoire Umuhoza, Umuhoza, or for Canadians, Z-A. So, and she would like to be allowed, as a Rwandan, to run for office, and she is not being allowed, and she has taken her case to the East African court. She has won cases there previous. Of course, the current government ignores the results, but it is a body created by the East African states, and it should be respected, but that's not the case. But we will be talking to Philippe LaRochelle about that, about this matter, and hopefully more voices will be raised on behalf of Victoire Ingabire Umuhoza. Before we get anywhere to the matter of the encampment, I want to just say that I believe there's a story that is right in front of us. Extremely important story that is being treated as though it's just some kind of a sport or incidental matter, as though it is natural to say certain things. The New York Times had a headline that said that the U.S. permission, I'll get the right words. Yes, here's the headline from the New York Times. Permission to fire into Russia buoys Ukraine. And our foreign minister and the government say, called for this. They said, oh yes, they should be doing that. Permitted to use Western weapons, very sophisticated weapons, to fire on Russia. People seem to think that's a natural and reasonable thing. The problem is, when people think they're thinking, is they forget that there's somebody else thinking. And we've been ignoring because it amuses our mainstream press to ignore the opinions of great powers, other great powers who don't agree with this exercise. And what they have said, I just want Canadians to know, is that if our opponents are given a weapon by you to strike us, we can strike you, and don't think we won't. So let's go back to how powerful Canada is. It doesn't actually have a nuclear weapon. We have what Chrystia Freeland calls an umbrella, a nuclear umbrella, but we don't own the umbrella. And it's a pretty lousy metaphor because a bomb really doesn't have much respect for umbrellas. But the media here is not underlining this enough. It isn't registering. And if it continues to be neglected, nasty, surprising, world-changing things can happen. And I don't know of a party in parliament that sees any problem with this, who is saying, if nuclear powers are starting to have disagreements on where the red lines are, it should behoove us as not a major power, but now a target, by the way. Canada, by taking the position it has, it doesn't realize it, but it is now a target if there's going to be any kind of an encounter. And there is a thing called diplomacy, and you can look it up. It's in the history books. People have practiced it. What you do is talk to your major opponent, and rather than saying, that's my enemy, which the Canadian Parliament and Canadian leadership on all sides is doing, is speaking of great powers as enemies. There has been any declaration of war, and there's no actual political finding. What this is a kind of political drift where we're sliding or walking blind into a possible confrontation whose outcome and dimension you cannot know. One thing we do know is that if it comes to a flash confrontation, Canada will not be consulted because there is no time for that. So unless Canada speaks up now and insists on meetings and negotiations, maybe a little straw in the wind appeared today where the Toronto Star is telling us that Canada is going to be talking directly to China in hopes, they say, of an improved relations. That would be nice, but it's way short of where we need to be going, because we're an attachment, whether we like it or not, to the U.S. through NATO and through this really unseemly organization called Five Eyes. These are bodies which take decisions. They're actually multinational, but there is a boss of the multinational team. It is Washington, D.C., and whether it is Joe Biden, George Bush, Bill Clinton, Trump, Canada does what the U.S. decides, or they simply are tied on to the saddle and are going to go where this thing goes. Since nuclear power is involved and long-range high-powered weapon systems, I say it again, Canada has no say. None. We simply will do as we're told, and we'll be told what happened after it happens. This goes way back. You can read the story of how John Kennedy once met a prime minister named Diefenbaker. And Diefenbaker asked him some questions about policy, and particularly involving NORAD, because Diefenbaker noticed it, and NORAD was like a first line problem with might involve Russia. So he asked very sharp questions, and Jack Kennedy was making notes, and Diefenbaker team noticed that when Kennedy left, he had tossed the notes in the wastebasket. And one of the notes read, who is this SOB? Let there be a little parable for what happened. By the way, NORAD got called up during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Look in the history books. Russian ships were approaching Cuba, and the United States said that if they tried to come into waters that they were standing in, that there would be a war. And so it was a very, very dicey situation. Everybody perspired around the world waiting for it. At any rate, NORAD was going to be called in and put their planes in the air. They did do that, by the way. So Diefenbaker said, well, of course, if that's going to be done, I have to be notified first. I have to make the decision. And there was argument about that. Later, he discovered that they were put in the air without anybody asking him. Because, you know, see, now we've moved into this world of you touch something and it goes off. And NATO, NORAD, and this elaborate weapon system that exists in the West, much bigger, by the way, than anything China, Russia has. It can't be, you can't, you know, phone somebody and have a conversation. It's just powerful people make decisions. I'm saying all these things because our foreign minister, Jolie, said, oh, yes, of course, give them the weapons. And the head of NATO, a guy who looks I shouldn't insult him. He's just a jerk. That'd be enough. Mr. Stoltenberg. By the way, he had a sister who was a Maoist. I wish she'd phone him up and ask him what's going on. He used to go to demonstrations with her, was almost charged once for throwing rocks at somebody. Now he has rocks in his head. So because he's calling for NATO to go ahead and give offensive weapons that will reach Russian territory. Everybody said, oh, sure, of course. Well, oh, sure, of course, can leave you with a incinerated population. And that's the part we're supposed to remind everybody about. You don't want to find out the hard way. So again, this is the Taylor Report. I would say, let's get on this. Let's not have any nonsense. Canada should speak up now. The NDP has shown some courage on the Palestine issue. Maybe they could look into the war and peace issue and decide whether that'd be a good idea. So far, I haven't seen an inclination from them to do that.